You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
All right.
Welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Russell, Chance, and the Bear coming to you live this afternoon from your Friday home of The Drive. It is, of course, National RX, Farragut's Neighborhood Community Pharmacy here at 11134 Kingston Pike. We're right next to Jets Pizza. Speaking of Jets, got some piping hot Jets pizza for you this afternoon if you want to come out and have a slice. I don't think anybody's been into it. Yeah, they gave me like 2 pounds of napkins today. I don't know why. We got plenty of napkins. So if you're a messy eater like Chance and myself, you could come out and we got you taken care of here this afternoon. I believe there's a dry cleaners across the street too. So
guilty by association.
All right. Big day here as we get ready for a big sports weekend. More bombshells dropping in the NCAA college basketball FBI probe. And it is the 10-year anniversary today of the day we ascended to the top of the college basketball universe, if only for 2 days, if only for about 48, 72 hours. 10 years ago tonight in Memphis.
Where were you at?
I was in my house with a couple of buddies.
Did your folks?
No, my house.
Oh. Oh, Stately Smith Manor.
Yeah. I'm 37 years old. I wasn't living at home at 27. I'd moved up.
I had 98 on the brain. Yeah, I'm sorry.
So, that was 20 years ago today.
Gotcha.
You feeling all right today, Bear?
Yeah, I'm fine.
So 10 years ago today, Tennessee defeats Memphis, becomes number one in the college basketball universe. And I was thinking on my way out here, like, how much has changed. 10 years ago, on that night, after Tennessee wins, and we're number one. And think about, like, everything that led up to that point, how bad Tennessee basketball had been historically until Bruce Pearl got here. And to be number one, it was just incredible. It was unbelievable. I still can't believe it. 10 years later.
I get chills right now thinking about that night. Walking out after the game.
And then 10 years after it, 10 years later, here we are. Like, if I told you that Bruce Pearl won't be Tennessee's coach, he's going to be at Auburn, where he's probably about to be fired. John Calipari's no longer at Memphis. He's at Kentucky now, where he might about to be fired or get out ahead of the police, whichever comes first. And I told you that Rick Barnes, who at that time, he's entrenched at Texas. He's never going anywhere. No, he's going to be Tennessee's coach, and he's going to be finishing a prolonged rebuild here. And college basketball, as you know, it is about to change forever because the entire system, its corruption has been exposed before the light. If I had told you all that, like, you would have said, like, what are you smoking? Like, it's insane. And yet here we are today, and this news continues to trickle out. The latest today, if you've been at work, you're just hearing about this. Players from at least a dozen D1 men's basketball programs have now been identified as possibly breaking NCAA rules through violations that were uncovered by the FBI's investigation into corruption in the sport. Schools identified so far as having players who possibly violated NCAA rules include Duke, North Carolina, Texas, Kentucky, Michigan State, USC, Kansas, and at least 25 players are linked to impermissible benefits, including Michigan State's Miles Bridges, Alabama's Colin Sexton, and Duke's Wendell Carter. Those are guys playing right now. Kentucky has a couple of guys. They've got one guy on this year's team, Kevin Knox, who's been implicated, and Bama Adebayo last year is alleged to have taken, I believe, upwards of $40,000 from agent Andy Miller and the people around him. So now we've got names. Now we've got schools. And I guess the question becomes, two main questions for right now. First of all, is this it? Or is this just the tip of the iceberg? Or are we about halfway through? Like, where are we at in terms of what's going to come out about all this stuff? And just as we sit here today, second part is, let's assume, okay, this is it. this is all that happened. I don't think that's true, but let's just, for the sake of argument, like, what comes of it? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to tell Duke, North Carolina, Texas, Kentucky, Michigan State, USC, and Kansas you can't go to the NCAA tournament this year? Are they going to forfeit all their wins? Are you going to rule those players ineligible? Are they just not going to play? Like, what do you do? What happens?
You can't ignore it.
I mean, you say that, but we know how these blue blood programs, especially in basketball, the money that they bring in and the appeal from, you know, having them in the tournament, they're not going to sit any of these star players more than likely, and nothing's going to happen before the tournament.
So this guy, Andy Miller, the NBA agent in question, kept a spreadsheet, a database of all the players that he was targeting, recruiting to sign into his agency, and every dime, it sounds like, that they spent trying to recruit these players and their families, whether they, you know, bought them a meal, whether they just gave them, you know, cash. He's got it all detailed. And we used to joke about this, right? Like, oh, who would be stupid enough to leave a paper trail? This guy, evidently.
He didn't watch The Wire. Is he stupid?
He left everything.
Is he stupid? I don't think he is.
He might be going to prison. I think he's pretty dumb.
I think that guy made sure to record every single thing. So if he ever got caught, like he did by the FBI, and they were getting ready to hammer him, he's getting ready to go spend the next 20 years of his life at Leavenworth, he had something to trade.
I think you're halfway there. I wouldn't go that far. He kept all these because he wanted to get the money back, and he wanted to see where he was putting his money. Like, they were going to try – half of these guys –
he's written down every single thing like he ever did. And who,
like,
named
Adebayo
names.
Doesn't sign with him.
Bad loan.
He took the money and then didn't sign with him. And so they had a plan of action of trying to get some of this money back. Now, we don't know exactly what that is, and maybe that's where the extortion comes in. I don't know. Would you?
Well, that guy was going to walk up to Bam, hey, you got my money?
No, but maybe he calls him and says, hey, if you don't pay me this loan back – I'm going to go to the press, or I'm going to have somebody go to the press on my behalf and say that this happened, and your friends, your boys, your family at Kentucky. That, I don't know. Maybe that's
– How long was Bam at Kentucky?
Just 1 year.
Yeah, why would he care?
I don't know. Maybe he wouldn't. All right. Maybe he wouldn't. But that's what the FBI is trying to find out here. So pretty wild stuff. Now –
I believe you both are you know, probably a little bit of both is right that, yeah, it's a record, so he can try to get recoup some of this money that he's throwing around trying to represent some of these guys. But at the same time, it's a lot of what Bear's saying too. I think that when you're doing something like this, because first of all, you know, we can say, yeah, he's stupid for keeping a paper trail, but how stupid are you when you're throwing around this much money?
I don't think there's necessarily anything nefarious from his point of view in doing it, or he's going to blackmail, try and get the money. Like,
I just think he runs dirt.
He runs a business, and this is just how it is in college basketball. And he never thought this would come out because it's the way it's been for years. And he's just like any other financial institution, keeping track of how he spends his money.
Yeah, I mean, he's not legitimate at all.
Yeah, but yeah, when you're bribing, I guess, or you know, doing this with the NCAA, and he knows that it's against the rules. But I think there might be some truth to that. Maybe he is keeping some of these records too. For yeah, if I do go down, I'm going to take, you know, everybody kicking and screaming on my way down as well. But I mean, yeah,
somebody a lot bigger
is,
than
is
me.
Is he probably just, you know, just typical accounting practices? Yes, probably a lot of typical accounting practice. But at the same time, in the back of his mind, he's got to know, and he's got to be thinking, because as you know, sleazy as this might be, you got to think too, well, I got to have a way out if I do get caught.
You got to have an escape plan.
So,
and let's not act like this guy was some kind of savings and loan, man. This money was never on the table, Russell.
So Tennessee, and that's an interesting point. We'll get to that later. But so from a Tennessee perspective, we talked about this yesterday. Is there anything that Rick Barnes or Donnie Tindall, Konzo Martin, Bruce Pearl would have to worry about in connection with this guy, his agency, and we found on the name Miles Turner, who plays for the Pacers now and played 1 year for Barnes his last year at Texas. He is was represented by Andy Miller, and did not sever ties to him after the investigation started. Now, Miller has since been disbarred or lost his license as an agent or whatever, and so Turner is no longer represented by him. But Did find this from the Indy Star. Turner told them back in September, quote, "I talk to Miller every day, keeping me updated on everything, telling me you're going to hear stuff. People are going to want me to go here. People are going to want me to jump ship. But Andy's my guy, man. I'm not going nowhere." Turner, one of the highest recruits in the country when he got drafted, said he didn't take any money from anyone, saying, quote, "My parents were like, Miles, we're not taking any money. I don't care what you're saying," he said with a laugh. "I'm glad we didn't."
So he's Dawkins guy's a shady, shady character.
Who?
The Dawkins guy, the guy who kept all
his middleman.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, he's been known. I mean, he dreamed up Aaron Torres on Twitter. He cooked up like $48,000 in fake Uber charges on an expense report. This guy's practices and creative.
Are you worried for Barnes for Tennessee at this point? Do you think Kentucky should be worried?
I think Kentucky should be terrified right now because the tennis shoe part of it hadn't, the shoe company part hadn't come out yet. That's what's going to really decimate the coaches.
You don't think the Adebayo stuff and he was connected with like $40,000?
I mean, they're just going to vacate that stuff. I mean, if they vacate it, but who cares? We've all three agreed that's the stupidest thing ever. I mean, didn't we? I mean, who won the NCAA championship to your Louisville? That team won the NCAA.
Yeah, but you're thinking from our, like, Louisville fans pretty tore up about that. They're taking their banner down, man. That hurts. Like, if we raised up a national championship banner or even a Final Four banner and they came back and took it down,
come down, man. That would hurt. I wouldn't take it down.
Okay, but they're going to have to because this
Why?
Is,
because the NCAA says so?
Yeah, because
they let North Carolina run a fake university for 20 years.
Okay, well, but they're not going to cut a check. They're not going to let you host games and stuff. The banner's coming down. They've already said they're taking the banner down. They have to. And that hurts from a fan's perspective. And it's not going to hurt for Kentucky last year because they didn't win anything. But what if this happened the year they won? Or what if they did win it last year? And they had to take the banner down. Yeah, I mean, that would... You know, it's the one time where Calipari, not fulfilling his team's potential, actually comes back to to save them some major embarrassment, I suppose.
And that's even if they even do that. I mean, I don't know.
Pretty interesting stuff. What will the NCAA do going forward? We'll talk about that here this afternoon on the show. 865-546-8200. All right, so I got to step away for a minute. I've got our friends Chris and Jay here from Campbell Cunningham Taylor. I'm doing a little testimonial for LASIK surgery that I had about 10 years ago. It's everything's going great with that. Live here at National RX. So I'm going to step away and help them for a little bit. Bear and Chance will have you for the next segment or two. Give them a call, 865-546-8200. What do you think about the revelations today from Yahoo? This list, and I mean, we just kind of glanced at it. There are some other big names here. The Dennis Smith Jr. from the Mavs, $73,500 in loans. Brooklyn Nets shooting guard Isaiah Whitehead, Markelle Fultz, last year's number one overall pick implicated in this. Colin Sexton from Alabama. I mean, this is just the Tim Quarterman kid from
LSU.
From LSU last year was evidently getting paid, and he might have been the he was a good player, but on a terrible team to get paid.
I'm with John Reed though. I don't count that Alabama loss as a loss anymore. We're 21. What did John say we are? 21-6 now.
Yeah. I mean, do you count the 1993 Tennessee tie with Alabama, the Heath Shuler David Palmer game? Do you count that as a win?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I do. As a matter of fact.
So you
I was at that game.
So I love insight into Bear's mind here.
Yeah.
If you get a win from it, absolutely it matters. But if they're just taking a banner away, that doesn't matter.
Not at all.
That doesn't matter.
No, I
no double standard.
I would tell Mark Emmert to go to the hot place, man. I don't care.
But you'll take the wins if they come your way.
Sure.
Stay with us. The drive continues. Fox Sports Knoxville, live from National RX. We'll be right back.
Thanks for hanging with us. Now, let's get back to the drive.
The Drive Rage Zone live from our Friday home out here at National RX. Chance Collins alongside the Bear. Russell, as he said, is back doing big ball superstar stuff, doing a testimonial for the lazy folks out here at National RX. Yeah, but big story. We're talking about Yahoo Sports. They've been the ones pretty much on this story since the FBI probe started, you know, a couple months back. Pat Forty and Pete Tham over at YahooSports.com now naming some of the players involved in this FBI probe with NBA agent Andy Miller of ASM Sports Agency and also his former associate Christian Dawkins. And actually, guess what, Bear? We have a statement from NCAA President Mark Emmert. He released a statement this morning to address the latest developments in the corruption probe. Quote, "These allegations, if true, point to systematic failures that must be fixed and fixed now if we want college sports in America. Simply put, people who engage in this kind of behavior have no place in college sports." He went on to say, "They are an affront to all those who play by the rules." Following the Southern District of New York's indictments last year, the NCAA Board of Governors and I formed the Independent Commission on College Basketball, chaired by none other than Condoleezza Rice, to provide recommendations on how to clean up the sport. I forgot about that.
Condoleezza Rice is going to be his shield.
Yeah, she's going to be the fixer.
You know what my advice to Ms. Rice, would be?
What's that?
I would tell Mark Emmert to resign immediately because he's overseeing this. Don't act like you're not culpable, Emmert.
Yeah, it's one of those things where she brings him in. I doubt if she's going to be the one to tell him, yeah, you need to go ahead and quit your job.
Well, no, I know, but, you know.
I forgot that they had started this independent commission, though. But he goes on to say, "The board and I are completely committed to making transformational changes to the game and ensuring all involved in college basketball do so with integrity. We also will continue to cooperate with the efforts of federal prosecutors to identify and punish the unscrupulous parties seeking to exploit the system through criminal acts," end quote. Bear, you actually you made a good point. We were talking off air. We might as well. This is not very popular with a lot of people. But it's very funny to me when Mark Emmert is coming out, exploit the system through criminal acts when they exploit players each and every day. I mean, if we really want to be.
Well, they've got a free talent. They don't have to pay their talent.
Yes.
They don't pay taxes.
You got a free farm system.
They don't pay their talent. Hell, they don't even provide adequate medical care for some of the athletes for injuries that they sustained while they are employed by the universities.
Yes, exactly. You have to go out, you represent the university in a positive light. They pretty much have everything without having the contract. I mean, they do have a contract, you know, as far as like intent. Once you sign that letter of intent, because we know how that works out when they're trying to transfer or whatnot, and how they have to represent themselves. So they're pretty much an employee without getting the benefits.
They've got 4 1-year contracts that they sign that can be revoked at any time.
Exactly. But not to go down the rabbit hole of whether or not students should be paid or whether they should, my opinion, they should be. The biggest factor if you're a Louisville fan, if you're a Duke fan, any of these players, any of these teams right now, obviously Tennessee, we're going to feel a certain way about it because of the ramifications that came down on Bruce Pearl and how he was forced to leave Tennessee, you know, all that stuff, how the NCAA hammered him. And then I'm thinking about how do you feel, you know, you're one of these other players, and if you're Mark Emmert at the same time, like there comes to be a point where when you have all of these shady dealings around your sport and players are constantly, you know, they're bidding themselves out to the highest bidder for, you know, different programs or whatnot. You know, in football, we know what happens in football just because it probably happens. You're seeing more money that gets thrown around in basketball, I'm sure. And,
right.
You know, with the stars, the lottery prospects that are signing with these teams. But you can fix all this, pay them a little money, and then there's going to be the devil's advocate that say, well, once you start getting money out there, then there's just going to be even more money that's going to be, you know, paid underneath the table. Well, and no, that may be true, but right now
you go hard. If you set up a system,
you have a separate
where,
committee,
you know,
oversight.
Like our buddy Tony says, like even set up a trust fund that they get at the end of their eligibility or, you know, the end of the 4 years or whatever. But, I mean, they got to do something. First and foremost, they have got to, especially for these guys that are having catastrophic injuries while they're playing and making these universities millions and hundreds of millions of dollars, they have to provide long-term medical care for these people.
Yeah, and if you're just joining us, some of the prominent players that off the top right here would be Dennis Smith, who is now with the Dallas Mavericks, who played in North Carolina State. According to this report by Yahoo Sports, he received $43,500, according to documents. Another document that was titled Pena for ASM agent Steven Pena, says Smith received a total of $73,500 in loans and includes notes about options to recoup the money when Smith did not sign. So, yeah, seems like, you know, a lot of these guys, too, took this money and was like, see you when they got to the league. I mean, like, yeah, you're just going to give them some money, to, you know, give them – they're going to take it. I can't say
how are they going to recoup it? I mean, they broke the golden rule. You don't front nobody that –
exactly.
Don't loan anybody money. You can't whip.
You can't necessarily go out and snitch to anybody and say, hey, I gave Dennis Smith $73,000, you know, and I need that money back, even though I wasn't supposed to. Also, Tim Quarterman, that's a former LSU guard, received $16,000 according to this balance sheet. Diamond Stone at Maryland. Bam Adebayo, who played for Kentucky.
That's a funny one.
Yeah, Bam, who played for Kentucky last season. Markelle Fultz, the number one pick, who played for Washington, now is a Philadelphia 76er. So, yeah.
Who's the biggest current player that you feel like could get affected?
That's playing now?
Yeah. Colin Sexton really affects
him. Yeah, Colin Sexton, I believe he's on here as well. You got Duke being implicated in this, North Carolina. I would say, I mean, you're looking at.
Did you catch 3 and out this morning?
I did not.
Davey Hudson was just downright despondent after the news broke that Duke. Because it came.
Oh, was he?
Oh, yeah. It was beautiful.
I'm sorry, Davey. Everybody's doing it, man. To think that nobody's doing it.
He just said that they wouldn't get caught because they're private school.
Here's actually on Yahoo Sports. Miles Bridges was another player at Michigan State. Looking on Yahoo Sports right now, there's actually a screenshot which looks like to be documents with all the players' names. I'm going to go through some of these pretty quick right here. Some names that you might have heard from, that former NBA players and guys that were pretty damn good basketball players in college and went on to have some play in the NBA journeyman. Brendan Haywood, who played for North Carolina. Carlos Delfino, if you remember him. Jared Jeffries played for Indiana. Pretty good. Kyle Kuzma, who's in the NBA right now. Cal Lowry, Villanova. Cal O'Quinn with the New York Knicks. Let's see. Also on this list, Nerlens Noel of Kentucky.
Was that the guy that looked like Bart Simpson?
Yeah, with the flat $4,350 paid to him.
How much?
Just $4,350.
For Nerlens Noel?
Yeah. These players weren't cheap. They weren't taking much money, it looks like. That we know of. There's obviously a lot of money probably still. Fred Van Fleet, who played for Greg Marshall at Wichita State on here. Look at some of this. I mean, you're looking at $1,000. Like, we're talking about that's what they're taking. Like, just pay the guys. Kyle Kuzma, Kyle Lowry. And that's about the most of the prominent names that I'm seeing. This is the ASM sports balance sheets that are included in the FBI's case on corruption.
I mean, what exactly do people imagine that a college kid is spending this $1,000? I mean, it's not like they're not even getting rich.
It's clothes, food, and like,
going out.
I mean, some of them probably, you know, they're giving it to their parents to pay a light bill or something like that, but keep mama's lights on, or, you know, like, they're doing a lot of stuff for their family, you know, buy groceries, like, or it's just for them, you know, so they can have a little spending money because they're not available to be able to work while they're, you know, a student athlete as well. So, yeah, big news with the coming out of Yahoo Sports.
We do have some breaking news.
Do we need to go to the desk?
Oh, sure. Take us to the desk.
Take us to the desk, Rick Butler, as we. And there.
At ABC has confirmed former Dolphins offensive lineman Jonathan Martin has been taken safely into custody. I saw this story right before we came on air and was going to – I hadn't had a chance to go over it with you and Russ yet. Apparently
– did he hurt someone?
No, he put out some really disturbing stuff on his Instagram feed with – you know, it was photoshopped with Harvard-Westlake Hashtag. It's apparently where he went to high school. It's a picture of a shotgun with shells all around it. And then it's got something written on it. When you're a bully victim and a coward, your options are suicide or revenge. So not this week. So you can't do stuff like that.
Yeah.
He's got some
NFL associate editor for Bleacher Report, Ian Kenyon, also tweets out, surprise, Jonathan Martin story isn't bigger nudes. Yeah, it's what you're saying. He just dropped an Instagram post threatening to shoot up former teammates, his high school and or himself. Very sad. We'll have to we'll try to get you more information on that. Yeah, Jonathan Martin, the guy who was bullied by Richie Incognito whenever they both played with the Dolphins.
Yeah, I hope he gets – that guy needs help.
Yeah, that sounds
I hope he gets the help he needs.
That sounds like, something some mental health issues there. Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick timeout, 865-546-8200. If you want to get on and talk to us, your time now, 865-546-8200. A couple phone lines open. When we come back, we'll continue discussing – the Yahoo Sports Probe. I think that's going to be the big news.
I can tell you what I think, where I think we should start.
All right. Well, here where Baird thinks that we should start right after this. You're listening to The Drive right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Stay with us.
The Drive. Hey. Mama told you there'd be shows like this. This is The Drive.
Back here on The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville, live today, National RX. All right, Russell Smith back here with you. Glad to see we're still on the air, still have our license and everything. You guys didn't come back and see the room set on fire or anything.
No, we didn't really ask you to come back.
Well, we were having a really good conversation.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
It took kind of a dark turn right there before catch you up.
Oh, no.
Jonathan Martin from the Dolphins. Remember him, the guy?
I did see that.
Well, he's been... What? He's been taken into custody now.
That's crazy.
Yeah, he apparently is. I'm no psychiatrist, but it sounds like he may have had some kind of a break today. It's pretty.
Did y'all talk about what he did?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Instagram post. What? That's a weird thing, and it makes you wonder. Just where was he playing with the Dolphins still, or had he been out of the league?
No, I think his career kind of flamed out pretty soon after all that with Incognito, who is still playing, wasn't he, up until this year? He hanging around with somebody.
He's with the Bills. He's one of the top offensive linemen in the National Football League.
Wonders of modern sports enhancement medicine.
And the subject of one of the best sports parody songs of all time, everybody knows it's Richie from I believe that was a Levitard show.
Yeah. I've never heard it.
You never heard that?
No. Uh-uh.
Remember the song? Everybody knows it's Wendy. Wendy has storm.
Yeah.
Everyone knows it's Richie.
Yeah, Martin actually retired in 2015.
Remember Richie destroyed his Ferrari with a baseball bat right around that whole time?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I'll look it up. Yeah, he took a baseball bat to his Ferrari.
Like John Goodman in The Big Lebowski?
Yeah, let me look it up.
This is what happens, Larry.
He's talked to us. This is what happens, Richie. You blow your career up. This is what happens.
Let me ask you guys this about this college basketball mess. And this could be our Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question.
I want to see Krzyzewski dragged from his office and chained.
Who looks worse? Who looks the worst in all of this? Because nobody looks good, right?
Nobody looks good.
Is it the agents? Is it the shoe companies? Is it the coaches? Or is it the NCAA? Like, who looks...
To me, the NCAA, Mark Emmert, for letting it go this long.
I think it's probably the NCAA and the coaches, because I can't fault players when they look around and they see how much money that they help generate the schools. And, you know, these guys were some of them, you know, I just went through a list of the other players on that list from the spreadsheet. Like, they're taking $1,000 here, $800. And it's really like crumbs when you think about how much they actually help generate. So I don't blame players. I blame coaches, because they throw it in our face all the time, and they throw it in their players' faces about, you know, it's about the kids. And, you know, know, they're trying to be, you know, role models to some of these guys, or they say they are, and they speak to their parents when they recruit them and all of this stuff. And then behind closed doors, they're taking all this money, extra money on top of their salaries to boost their income. So I blame players, and I blame the NCAA for always preaching to us that they're so self-righteous about the student athlete. Well, we know that we're at a time now where it's not so much about the student athlete. It's more just about the athlete is what they care about. They really care that much about the student side until it's time to pay players. That's when they care about the student side.
While you were gone, Chance read Emmert's statement from this morning. It was just a bunch of sanctimonious horse crap. I mean, it's totally unbelievable.
Well, what would you prefer him to say?
I hereby resign my post as – I'm serious. Effective immediately. I mean, I'm a total failure.
He's only been there for 4 or 5 years. This has been going on for decades.
Yeah, I'm not
– Yeah, but he's been there for 4 or 5 years. That's long enough where if he had a spine, he would have done something.
Well, they've tried to do things for
How
years.
How can you give me a straight face and say that? They haven't tried to do anything. They hammered Donnie Tindall for some nickel and dime stuff, gave him 10-year show cause. They gave Bruce 3. And North Carolina literally had a fake college.
I don't, you could get Mark Emmert out of there and replace him with whoever you want.
No, it's
what,
not. It's
what,
not,
what do you want the NC? What do we do now? How do you fix this? What do you do going forward?
They're not going to really do anything because they're in a position where every school can't afford to pay players, and the NCAA is not going to pay players. So every school can't afford to pay players. Just like say if it was even $500 a month, if you look at if you pay players trying to pay them all $1,000 a month, you got to pay all players. So we're talking about women's sports too. At the end of the day, they only make $1 billion a year, so they claim on their website. So, they wouldn't be able to pay
only $1 billion.
You wouldn't be able to.
No, you're right. I mean, we don't want the schools can't pay them.
They need to separate revenue producing with non-revenue producing sports.
But if you do that, Bear, you're going to lessen the opportunity, which at the end of the day is what it's supposed to be about, because not all these schools are going to be able to have athletic programs that are funded by football and men's basketball, and it's going to cut down on scholarships for everybody.
So I understand
if you do that. So
well, then they're going to have to come to their senses and realize and not raise Cain when the football players
the
and
only
men's basketball
thing that
players
they,
get paid.
That they can do when they try to bring that oversight committee with Condi Rice that's chairman of that. But the only thing you can do, they're going to have a separate entity that keeps checks and balances on the NCAA and the coaches and the teams at all times. Like, I don't know if
NCAA for the NCAA?
Yeah, I don't even think the NCAA is viable anymore.
How about this?
Well, you can't
because
do anything.
Because here's the thing, and nobody's upset about this, right? Because, first of all, it's hard to get upset about victimless crimes when you see the Sandusky scandal or the Larry Nassar scandal. It's hard to look at this and say, oh, this guy got $4,500. Like, there's just not – I don't think people have the capacity to be outraged about that based off what we've seen just the past 5 years in terms of major college athletic scandal. But who do you feel sorry for here in this situation? Who are the victims? And I would suggest to you that there aren't any. I mean, who's the victims? Who's getting
the shaft?
The kids are getting used.
The kids are getting used bad.
By the schools. But I would, I mean, I don't think they're horribly wronged in this situation. The kids who are talented enough go to the NBA and make a lot of money. The kids who don't still get an education if they want it. And
well, I mean, Bam Adebayo was horribly underpaid. If that's all he got was $37,000.
But that's not all he got. Let's not pretend like the experience of playing for Kentucky for a year is completely worthless.
You think Bam went to class? Basketball players, those one and done guys, they don't even have to go to class.
I don't know, but do you think that the experience of playing for Cal helped him being associated with Kentucky?
I think he'd have done just as well if he'd gotten drafted and been able to go into the league right off the bat.
Maybe not. Here's what I would suggest. I would suggest if it's a victimless crime, then what they're going to have to do, what they should do, in my opinion, is, like, I don't have a problem with taking a loan. What's shady is who they're taking it from. Like, go to a bank, man.
What about the kids that can't go to banks, Russell?
Then you can't go to a bank.
And their parents. Like, that's one, but
you're
I'm
not good enough. You get to go to school and play college basketball.
But what I'm trying to tell you is that's why they're taking the money. They're prominent players. They probably come from low-income homes who don't have prominent credit. Everybody doesn't have 800, 700 score credit. I'm just telling you, that's why they're doing it. They're taking the money, and then they're sending it home to pay bills.
Not everybody – if you go to a bank, which is essentially – this is what they're doing. They're already doing it with this guy. You're going to get to go and play college basketball or professional basketball, and I want to be your agent.
No, that guy's parasitic. He's preying on him. He's offered him money, but it comes with a huge string that you're going to sign with me, and I'm going to take a huge chunk of your future earnings. So what they've got these kids signed to basically is it's not
– Okay, so what I'm saying is why not legalize that? Why not let them go to a bank and say, hey, I'm Kevin Knox. I'm Bam Adebayo. I'm going to go to the NBA someday. Give me a $20,000 loan. That way I can have a nice
car. Why should they be borrowing that money? Why should they what explain to me why they shouldn't be getting paid? Why should they have to borrow that money from a bank that they're
going
to pay back?
Because the schools can't afford to pay everybody. They don't have that much money. And if you do that, you're going to have the English Premier League. You're going to have the Bundesliga. You're going to have 20 teams playing D1 basketball. The conferences are going to have to go away, and then you're going to have a bunch of OVC and Southern School and Southern League teams.
I don't think it'd be that extreme.
There was a story in USA Today maybe 4 or 5 years ago. You know how many teams turned a profit in D1 athletic programs turned a profit as of 4 or 5 years ago?
Counting football?
Counting every university in the United States of America. About 14.
Yeah, but
Tennessee was one of them.
I'm talking about football and basketball.
So am I. And Tennessee was one of them.
There's only 14 colleges.
Nobody makes money in anything but football or basketball. None of those other sports make money.
And what those are the players that deserve to get paid.
If you say that the schools are going to pay the kids, there aren't that many schools that can do that. They're not changing Title IX, dude. The government is not going to change that. And I don't think they should. Necessarily, as the father of a daughter. So if that's what you want to do, you're going to end up limiting opportunity for everybody. And listen, from a Tennessee is one of the schools that makes a profit because we have a huge stadium and we have a huge fan base and we have a huge booster base. But if I were just looking at this as a Tennessee fan, yeah, that's fine. Let's go ahead and do that because Tennessee will be okay. But I'm not looking at it like that. I want Memphis to be able to play D1 football and basketball. I want Ole Miss and Mississippi State to be able to play D1 football, D1 basketball, and offer those scholarships to everybody and create opportunity. I think it makes the sports more entertaining, but that money will go away quickly if you have to pay everybody, which is what you would have to do because of Title IX.
Oh, man. I'll tell you, I know that they're not going to pay them because they don't have a way. Because the argument that you're going to have is
I think they hide behind Title IX.
But let's get them some. But I mean, we're not arguing here, guys. We all know what has to be done. Like Bam Adebayo should be able to get money. Yeah. Why can't he go and take out a $20,000 loan?
I've got a fundamental.
Hold on, let me finish. So I get to go to school and play basketball for Coach Cal at Kentucky, and they're paying for my school. If I want to take advantage of that, I can. If not, great. I'm going to have a nice car to drive for my 1 year there. I'm going to have a nice place to live in. I'm going to have walking around spending money. I can go out to eat. I can go to the movies, do everything a normal human being can do. And if I make it to the NBA, I'll be able to repay that loan within a year, and I'll make millions on top of that. And if I don't, then I'm a regular American who goes to school and is in debt just like I am right now, and 50% of our audience is right now driving around listening to this who had to take out student loans. What's wrong with that?
Well, here's what's wrong with it. There is an entity that is making millions and hundreds of millions of dollars a year off BAM, the free labor of the athletes. They don't have to pay their talent. And don't hand me this room and board and books bullcrap, because that doesn't work.
We're going in circles here.
Yeah, just agree to disagree, and we can.
Well, I mean,
because I don't. You're completely forgiving the guy who's making all the money. You're making this kid go borrow money from a bank when he's working for free. I don't think he should have to pay it back.
Well, who do you think pays him? Who pays him? The school?
How about all? I mean, what are they doing with all this TV money, Russ? What are they doing with all the money?
It goes to the school. The tournament money goes to the NCAA. Now you can say, okay, well, the schools are going to take that over too. But it goes in the pot. But I'm telling you, it's not going to go as far as you think it is. There are 350 D1 college basketball schools. 68 of them make the tournament. You do the math there. It goes away quickly. And you've got to pay it to the women's soccer player and the women's gymnast and the rowers.
100,000 people don't show up to watch the rowers. I mean, but they don't.
Bear, I understand that, and you're right. But it's Title IX, man. It's not going anywhere.
Well, that's socialism.
That's okay. And, you know, capitalism is, okay, we take it away and we just give it to those who earn it. But guess what? The people.
Well, I just think there's
your gymnast, your soccer players, your baseball players. They don't get anything anymore. If they want to play, they can, but they have to go and they have to pay for their own uniforms, do their own laundry, and ride on a bus all over
I'm not saying that. They'll get like what now is a regular college scholarship with room and board. I mean, if you don't produce revenue, but I think they still deserve a free education, room and board, books.
Where does that money come from?
From the athletic side.
Where does that money come from?
I don't know, the NCAA,
from the TV contracts and the NCAA. And that's what.
But don't sit here and act like there's not a handful of people getting fabulously filthy rich off this deal.
I'm not. It's obscene. You're right.
There's no easy answer here, but just to say that some college kid can go borrow $20,000 against future earnings.
The easy answer is to say what these kids did, what Andy Miller's class did, is perfectly okay. But we're just going to let them do it from a bank like a normal human being, and we're not going
to. No, you're asking them to pay that money back.
Sure, why not? What's a $20,000 loan to a man who makes $2 million? How much does
what's $20,000 loan to Kevin Ware right now, who's not an NBA player?
I mean, your rookie contract's going to net. You're at least probably be making a couple mil.
So we're just going to start. Minimum might we're going to start subsidizing everybody who gets hurt now in athletics too.
I'm really surprised you came down on this side.
On what side? I'm for paying the players.
You're pro NCAA. You're just hiding it real good.
I don't think you really
no,
is.
No, though. I'm not. Not at all. You've not been.
If, I never thought you'd if stand that's up your, for the no, greenheads.
All right, we got to take a quick break.
Power to the people.
It is The Drive here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Live to date, National RX. Come on out and see us. We're back with more right after this.
The Drive. You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
Neighborhood Community Pharmacy, a beautiful day out here once again. Good to be back with you here, and you know, they do so many great things here at National RX, so many great initiatives that we've been involved in. And I was talking to Jim, one of the owners out here, earlier this week, and something that is important to them is important to all of us, and that they want to emphasize is the pharmaceutical role in the opioid epidemic in the United States. It's everywhere. It's particularly bad in the state of Tennessee, and it's impacted pretty much anybody who's listening to this has either had an addiction issue or knows somebody who has. Their life has been impacted some way. Just 2 years ago, in 2016, there were over 64,000 drug overdose deaths in the United States. And here at National RX, they want you to know that if you or someone you know is struggling with opioid addiction, don't let them become another's statistic. Here at National RX, they will help you go through the recovery process. They're doing it every day for people, and their staff here at Farragut are experienced and have expertise to guide you through the different options you have for recovery. And you will never be criticized if you come out. You will always be encouraged, and you will always be helped. National RX is affiliated with professional recovery centers and physicians So there are plenty of ways to get help and not be addicted anymore. If you're serious about recovery, do yourself a huge favor. It may save your life. Talk with the experts here at National Rx, 11134 Kingston Pike, or call 865-392-1770. Rickard Ridge Barbecue, smoking hot question here. Who looks the worst today in this college hoops mess that we have on our hands? By the way, Tennessee, a game tomorrow, 1 o'clock tip-off against Ole Miss. That means we'll have about a 3 o'clock voluntary reaction for you right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. We'll talk about that game and what Rick Barnes and his staff have to do to pull out a big W and keep things rolling here. And, yeah, it's just Ole Miss. They're a losing record with an interim coach and everything, but it's still a big W. You don't think it's a big game, lose it. And see how big a game it is next week when the new rankings and bracketology come out. So I think it's huge. We'll talk about that. We'll get Bears Olympic update. Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad. They're over tonight, right? Tonight's the last
25th, I believe.
Yeah.
It's a fortnight. Wait. Oh, 25th. Sunday. So Sunday. Okay. So,
yeah, slightly
this,
is longer than
this will be the last Winter Olympics update.
No. We'll have the final one on Monday.
He'll have his thoughts.
We don't normally do one on Fridays because it's hard to do when we're on remote.
Plus, Tennessee football. Chris Lowe had a great piece in Jeremy Pruitt earlier today at ESPN.com. You can go read that if you want. And some QB transfer news. Stay with us. A lot to get to in hour number two of The Drive right here on Fox Sports Knoxville.